This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
I overheard a conversation which stopped me in my tracks and made me cold on that sunny day. We as Europeans have a problem with racialized hatred. As far as the egalitarian message of Islam is concerned, Europe has been in a deep stagnation. In this video, I'm going to connect the dots from Netanyahu to Tommy Robinson. And as you know from this channel by now, I'll be looking at this from the viewpoint of faith and secularism in our societies. But is it really surprising that fascism is alive and well on the streets of Britain? Seriously, did it ever go away? I recognise the kinds of people on the streets these last days as the same as in the 1980s. We used to call them Thatcher's boot boys, the kinds of people who have nothing to live for. And as for fascism across Europe, has it ever really gone away? We as Europeans have a problem with racialized hatred. We like to think, don't we, in Europe, fascism died in 1945 and it's all been absolutely fine since, and we are decent people, and we're here to help the world. That's the story that we tell ourselves. But it's never held water. But as I found out speaking to Bosnians, fascism has not been away from Europe one day since 1945. Even as a convert to Islam, 14 years now, who's taken my fair share of abuse, as much as you can abuse someone who's 6 foot tall, English, and will give it back in a better way, I hope. I can't be bullied very easily, but my daughters and I have had some Islamophobic abuse in our time. So I know that this horrible ugliness exists, but still it's not the story that we tell ourselves as Brits, right? It's also really comforting to think that racism is mostly guys with very short hair, over 50, nothing else to do, too much beer in their bellies, not very high IQ, we judge them, we loathe them, they're soccer hooligans with nothing else to do, maybe it's a quiet summer with no football going on. But what is really disturbing is meeting young people under 25 whose views are actually worse or more vocal than the generation that have gone before. So I was in Mostar. Mostar is a beautiful place. Two parts of an ancient city that was under the Ottoman Empire for 500 years. A very famous bridge there, Mostar Bridge, commissioned by Suleiman the Magnificent, a favoured, incredible sultan of the empire, whose name Magnificent, by the way, was given to him not by his own people, but by the Europeans who found his ways really impressive. Mostar Bridge was famously destroyed by Croat forces during the Bosnian genocide in the 1990s. So I'm in Mostar now with some sisters who are all in hijab, and it's a hot day and we're just paddling around. There's loads of people. We actually had a really good time. We went on a boat up and down the river, which is stunning. And there were people jumping off the bridge, which is a popular thing to do. And I overheard a conversation which stopped me in my tracks and made me cold on that sunny day. And it was between a young Croat tour guide, no more than 22 years old, I'd say, and two German tourists. The male German tourist said to him, "It sounds like a horrible thing happened here. What was the deal with the war?" A young Croatian man said, "Well, you know, if everyone's just nice and normal and gets along, these things wouldn't happen." And as he was saying that, I noted that he was looking at my friends, as if to say, well, if they were normal, if they behaved like us, like real Aryan-style Europeans, everything would be fine. Well, I couldn't let it ride. Not with all the graves of the Shaheeds I'd seen, not with the adults who grew up in the war and are still grieving lost family members. Not with the fact that the man on the other side of the bridge still suffers shell shock because he was forced himself to become a fighter age 10 to try and protect his people and bursts into tears every time he speaks to tourists. No, 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 no. I wasn't going to let it ride. So I said to him, excuse me, I just overheard you say that everything would be nice if people were just normal. And I wanted to say that actually the genocide was against Muslims. It was Islamophobic and it was to do with an ideology. So I just want to clarify that for you tourists. At which point the young Croat doubles down. The young Croat looked at me and said, have you seen what happened in the UK last week? And I was like, why are we jumping from genocide in the 1990s against Muslims to the UK now? And then he said, did you see the migrant who kills those white children? And I said, what? I said, why are you using the word migrants? He was someone from Wales. Why are you making that link? And he said, well, that's what migrants do, isn't it? Literally, subhanAllah, in the midst of a place where a genocide has been committed, he's linking a genocidal thought to what took place in the UK with falsified facts, linking it to migrants. And again, if we're all white and normal, the world will be okay. It's the same thing over and over again. It's the making of the other, the lesser, the one that we don't want to be around, the one who maybe arrived after us in our telling of our story. Fascism didn't appear in 1938, and it didn't disappear in 1945. It just morphed into something that we're kind of used to hearing now. I was traveling with an incredible historian, author and journalist, Brother Amir, and he had this to say.
In Bosnia, we faced coalition between what we could call far left wing and far right wing. The infamous Serb, but I would say Yugoslav dictator, Slobodan Milosevic, in the late 1980s and early 1990s, was responsible for many war crimes that happened in Croatia, in Bosnia, later in Kosovo. But he was not directly responsible. Technically, he was, believe it or not, he was actually leftist. He was leader of the Serbian Communist Party, therefore leftist. But his followers, many of them were right-wing Serb nationalists. And the coalition between these two, so to speak, within the former Yugoslavia, within the context of the Serb nationalism, was devastating. It brought a lot of misery, especially in Bosnia, and, as we know, genocide. Today, we have many other isms, you know, that cause so much confusion. All of them, I think, can go under one roof, and that would be international Zionism. Zionism, at the moment, is not something that is oppressing Palestinian people, horribly, as we're witnessing these days, but not just these days, but these decades, I would say. But you can find it in other parts of the countries. Many people don't know, actually, that Zionism was involved in what happened here in the former Yugoslavia, including Bosnia. And
it's not that we're unkind. It's not that we're uncaring. It's not that we want people to die in our waters. It's that we don't have the space, right? We're a small country. We have limited resources. My gran couldn't go to the NHS for her throat operation because there were so many X, Y, and Z people in the queue ahead of her. And the waiting list is long and we just can't do it. So we're just going to ask everybody to leave, you know, just hurry them along a bit and then everybody will be okay. A mosque is firebombed. Bricks are thrown at its windows. Muslims huddle inside in fear. Mobs of white men abuse and assault people of colour on the streets. A hotel housing asylum seekers is set ablaze. Muslim-owned businesses are destroyed. Muslim gravestones are vandalized, mosques are attacked, and a Muslim man is stabbed. This is a snapshot of the Islamophobic violence that has gripped the UK this summer. Police were quick to identify the root rioters as members of the English Defence League, the EDL, a now defunct far-right organisation comprised of hardcore anti-Islam agitators and football hooligans. In the early years, these unemployed hooligans and neo-Nazis regularly partnered with the Zionist Federation to host demonstrations in support of the Israeli embassy. Robinson positions himself as a staunch supporter of Israel and has been photographed visiting IDF soldiers and holding a gun. His alignment with the Israeli politics of Netanyahu's genocide is part of a broader trend where the far right in Europe sees Israel as a defender of Western civilization against a perceived Muslim threat. Drunken thugs with no link to any faith attacking people of faith in their places of worship or in their homes or in their places of work. I used to chat to Peter Hitchens of the Daily Mail. Yes, the Daily Mail. Peter and I used to get on okay. And I respect him as someone who has a set of morals and ethics and values that he lives by.
I am a practicing communicant Christian member of the Church of England. I differ on large and important theological matters with Muslims and in fact rather enjoy discussing it with them. And I've had many, many conversations. I take Islam very seriously as a faith. The way in which so many people now speak of it as if it was some kind of nameless threat seems to me to be dangerous and also possibly coded for something else. And I think that we have to recognize that we have now living in our society brothers and sisters who have a different religion from the one that we may have grown up with.
And so one time I was speaking to him and he said, I would rather have Iranian Muslims living next to me who practice their faith than some of this rubbish that we've got floating around right now. And he was not talking about foreigners. He was talking about godless people. This is a man who genuinely cycles to church on a Sunday. He'd rather have Muslims living next to him than thugs, because he knows, having traveled to Iran, by the way, amongst other countries, that a good person who's practicing their faith is not a drunk, is not on drugs, is not abusing children. I said, practicing their faith. Is a good neighbor, is kind and charitable and quiet, and you'd really want them in your street. This is what Muslims have to offer the West. As far as the egalitarian message of Islam is concerned, Europe has been in a deep stagnation. And I think if you're watching this from the far right, or you've been radicalized by their messaging, I think you're lonely. I think you're disconnected. I get that. But honestly, life doesn't have to be that way. Meanwhile, a lot of beauty has been taking place as well. There have been counter-protests attended by tens of thousands. People gathering in Northern Ireland around shops that have been threatened and takeaways, standing with their neighbours who they've known for years. And even the community where my daughter recently got married, the Abdullah Quilliam Mosque in Liverpool, where my father was born, they were threatened with violence and the community turned out, and friends like Adam Kelwick distributing fish and chips outside to everyone. In his farewell sermon, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, presented a radical vision of what society can be like. A black person is no better than a white, and a white person is no better than a black person, and an Arab does not have superiority over a non-Arab, and a non-Arab over an Arab, and look after your women. For Europe, still seeking division amongst an increasingly lost and secular group of nations, it's time, surely, to embrace the teachings of the Holy Quran. That's where the healing's going to begin, inshallah. And we're here for that. And if you want to ask any questions, I'm here for that. Let's join together. Let's do good. Let's be great neighbours. Let's be kind to one another. Ask your questions below. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.